It's time once again to step out, step up, and step into the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. Rick's expertise in the coming out process has helped hundreds of men and women step out of the closet to live authentically as gays and lesbians. Freeing you from the feelings of guilt and shame, Rick's heart-centered approach is loaded with bankable advice and take action tips for living powerfully on the other side of the closet door. Each week, the Coming Out Lounge brings you heartwarming coming out stories, thought-provoking insights, and diverse perspectives for living out and proud. Pull up a chair and spend an inspiring hour in the Coming Out Lounge, stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your truth. Here's the host of your show, Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons.
And yes, today we are truly coming out and feeling proud because tomorrow is a very special day. And for anyone who doesn't know what tomorrow is, tomorrow all us homosexuals get to go on holiday. Oh, you didn't know there was a homosexual holiday? Well, there is. Tomorrow is National Coming Out Day. And not to make a joke of it, because it is real. And it is important to those of us who have taken the brave steps and come out of the closet in our own way. And not to diminish it for anyone who is still in the process, if you're standing there trying to figure out who you are, what you feel, why you're having these feelings, you are part of our journey. All of us are in this journey together. So a little history about National Coming Out Day. It began on October 11th, 1987. When a little over 500,000 people participated in a march in Washington, D.C. And because of that march and because of the energy that came from being in the midst of that advocacy, the day was actually set aside by its founders, who were Rob Eichenberg and Gene O'Leary. And Rob was the developer of a personal growth workshop called The Experience. And Gene O'Leary served as the head of the National Gay Rights Advocates. And back in 1987, through a group of a little over 100 activists in a small meeting in Manassas, Virginia, they decided to set aside October 11th as National Coming Out Day. And so this day is really about honoring the process of coming out, talking about what the things are that you might want to do, the experiences you might have as you come out. And today I felt really compelled to bring four different people into the show and have them share their own experiences with coming out of the closet and being who they truly are. So we're going to start our show with someone who's very special to me. I met her through TogiNet Radio, which is the radio network we are listening to. And we've become fast friends. We've also become colleagues. And she's actually even done a couple of coaching sessions with me along the way. Her show is called Second Chances, and a few weeks ago, she really came out and did her own Second Chance show about opening herself up and living her truth. So it is with great pride that I bring my friend Midge Noble onto the air and say, I'm so happy that you're here helping me celebrate National Coming Out Day, Midge. So
it is wonderful to be here, Rick, and I've got to thank you because you were part of my journey, and without you, I don't know if this year would have been my year to come completely out. So I thank you and I honor you as well.
Well, thanks. And it's been a great journey. I mean, we both have gone through the coming out and becoming radio personality.
Yeah.
Kind of doing all this wonderful stuff that we've been doing. So I guess really, Midge, what I'd love to just have you share a little bit with is, you know, maybe just one of the big challenges you faced as you did make this decision to come out just recently on a bigger scale.
I think the biggest challenge for me was the fear of what would happen to me professionally. Yeah. I had come out, I mean, I'm 53 now, and I came out to my family and to certain friends when I was 30. But professionally, I'm a child, an adolescent therapist. I live in a very small community in Asheboro, North Carolina. And so to have a child therapist go behind a closed door with a child and be openly gay, I mean, you know, in this town, I didn't know what would happen. And I was really afraid that I would lose my business and I would have to then lose my house. You know, I had all those irrational fears that we go through. So I think that was probably my biggest fear. Along with that, I guess the biggest fear was since my partner wasn't as ready to come out at the time, I didn't want our relationship that has stood the test of time and we've been together over 20 years. I didn't want something to get in the way of that.
Well, and I think what you brought forward is two of the most common things that happen when someone is coming out. First, they fear losing relationships, number one, whether they be intimate, social, you know, intimate relationships, social relationships, family relationships. And one that gets overlooked often is the relationship with self. I think people don't realize that they are going to go through a shift in the relationship they have with themselves once they come out. But then the other common thing that happens is this fear of all the material things that they might lose as well. And this isn't uncommon because we hear the horror stories. We hear about teens getting thrown out of their homes. We hear about individuals who have been in marriages like myself, and you fear about, you know, the coming out and maybe being taken for everything through a divorce. And the bottom line is this: it's really about stepping in and trusting yourself and knowing that some of the thoughts that you're having aren't necessarily true. And I think when you and I worked together, I kind of talked about this, about the big truths and the little truths.
Yes.
And the little truths are those that we make up, those that we buy into. But the big truths are those things that are really truly true. We have to have air to breathe. We need food to sustain our bodies. The sun rises, the moon, you know, comes up, et cetera, et cetera. So now that you've declared this on a much bigger scale, what's happened to the energy around those feelings?
Oh, my God. You know, stepping into my truth and being able to say it out loud, even though, you know, I have no idea how many people actually heard the show for sure. And right. But it has just freed me. You know, my energy has just gone through the roof. You know, I feel so validated within myself. I feel worthy on a level that I never felt worthy before. You know, I finally feel authentic and genuine, and I'm so proud of that. And there was always that piece of, you know, I'm not being genuine, I'm not being authentic, I'm talking to you and you don't know I'm gay, so, you know, I'm not really giving you my whole self. You know, and it's not that I have to start every conversation with, "Hi, I'm Midge and I'm gay," but right. You know, just knowing in my head that if I'm in a conversation and the word "she" comes up, or, you know, I say my partner instead of my family, you know, I just love the fact that I'm genuine, and I feel so, so good in this space.
Well, and I love that you shared that, because it is about being, you know, the authentic self. And last night I was in Los Angeles doing another radio show with my good friend David Cruz on Finding Cupid. And we talked a lot about how authenticity and coming out, this is a human condition. It isn't just about gay and lesbian. This is a human condition. Whether you want to start a business, or you want to go live your passion, or you do want to get out of a relationship that isn't working for you, it is about stepping into another layer of being truly authentic and really saying, this is who I am, this is what I desire. And this is the hardest part, I think, for us as humans, is to allow ourselves to go be as authentic as we want to, because we've been conditioned in so many different ways that, oh, we can't do that, or we shouldn't do that. So I love that you just shared that. Mm-hmm. And so besides feeling authentic, what has this done for your perception of self?
Well, I feel so much better about myself. I mean, the years before I even was able to claim my own sexual orientation, you know, I covered up, you know, when you live in a lie, you got to cover that up with something. And for me, it was eating disorders and depression and, you know, just really feeling bad about myself. And now it's like, you know, I'm just owning who I am. And I don't, you know, I don't have those feelings that I had before. And I just, you know, I love myself. I'm creative. I'm awesome. And now I'm authentic. So the whole package is put together.
And I love this because I have a downloadable ebook on my website at thecomingoutcoach.com, and it's called The 20 Most Common Thoughts We Have Around Coming Out. And the first thing is, I'm a weird freak of nature. I think this is, you're not. This is who you are. This is where the authenticity starts to step forward. So I just have to say, I love that you brought all this up, Midge, because this is really the starting point. When we can be authentic and we can step forward, then the stress begins to retreat. Doesn't yes. mean the stress is going to go away, because as you start to say, I'm gay or I'm lesbian or I'm transgender or bisexual, that stress moves. But then there may be new things that come up. But this is where I say we flex the muscle. And the more we flex the muscle around authenticity, the more we can actually be who we are. So I want to just kind of promote a couple of things. Midge is also an author. She's written a couple of books, children's books, called Sheba, Home is Where the Heart Is, and also Learning to Be Cool Under Pressure. So, and I can't remember, Midge, do you have a website?
Yeah, it's MidgeNobleSecondChances.com.
Fantastic. And so what are you doing on your show tomorrow night?
Well, on my show tomorrow night, I actually have my partner's brother's partner that's going to be one of the folks calling in. And he's an amazing guy. And we're just supporting coming out. And anyone's welcome to call in and share their story.
Fantastic. And I just have to say, you have truly been a gem in my life. I'm so glad you came on the show this morning to share a little piece of you. And again, MidgeNobleSecondChances.com. And her show's tomorrow evening at 9, correct?
Yes, 9 Eastern Standard Time. Yep.
Perfect. Well, thanks again, Midge. Love you. And
love you.
Our next segment, we're going to be talking to someone who has a little bit of a religious background and what his story means. And his name is Salvatore Sapienza, a lovely Italian man. And I can't wait to have him on the line. And we will be right back in just a few seconds with more of the Coming Out Lounge as we celebrate National Coming Out Day, which is tomorrow, October the 11th, where everyone is invited to truly and authentically step out and be themselves as they should be.
You've been listening to The Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clements. We'll be right back after these messages.
I look into the window of my mind.
What time is it? It's MILF and Cookies time. Join the rowdy and fun world of Shannon and Amy, two moms I'd like to Facebook, and catch a glimpse of these two best friends as they enjoy their MILF status and devise ways to keep it. They, along with their special guests, will happily reveal their best-kept secrets on how to feel beautiful from the inside out. Some of the fun segments include Happy Hour with Skinny Girl Margaritas, Confessions of a Bad Eater, Making Your Own Money is So Hot, Tips for Keeping Your MILF Status, and don't forget the cookies. We're still moms after all, and best friends are like a good bra. They never leave you hanging. Shannon represents the ladies in their 40s and is also a woman who came into her cool status late in life after a good long run with a glee club. Amy, on the other hand, is walking the 30 set and as a high school cheerleader has pretty much been cool her whole life. Hook up with hosts Shannon and Amy every Thursday evening at 9 p.m. Central for MILF and Cookies here on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 Central on toginet.com. Helen Wu was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, and after a very difficult upbringing, fighting depression, abuse, and addictions, she finally finds herself genuinely happy inside and out. Helen believes in taking our positive thinking and doing something positive to achieve a positive outcome. She's here to make a positive difference in your life, to be your game changer, your aha moment mentor. She's ready to help both men and women get into a better place. Helen Wu is also the author of Self-Aid Success Stories, 25 Success Stories from Successful Entrepreneurs. Inspired by Ellen DeGeneres, Helen wants the world to know that just because we find ourselves in a difficult situation doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can aid ourselves to a better life. So join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 Central on toginet.com.
Welcome back to the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemens.
And we are back on the Coming Out Lounge as we are celebrating National Coming Out Day, which is tomorrow, October the 11th. And I brought a whole group of people together who I admire, who are willing to talk about their own coming out stories, who have gifts to give of themselves through books, just by being beautiful human beings that they are. And my next guest is someone that I have been Facebook friends with probably for about 6 months or so, and we have continued to try to connect and connect. And so here we are on my celebration show of National Coming Out Day, literally having our very first conversation. So he is a wonderful guy. I've followed a lot of what he's doing. He has won 2 Lambda Literary Awards for his books. The first book is Gay as a Gift, and his second one is 70 Times 7. He is a former religious brother in the Catholic Church, and he has a beautiful Italian name. I want to welcome to the show Salvatore Sapienza. How is that for my Italian?
Wow, that is beautiful. Thanks so much, Rick. It's great to be on your show to finally connect, and I can't think of a better time for us to connect than the day before National Coming Out Day.
Absolutely, and it is such a celebration. It is a piece of, and I guess what I really want, from my perspective, anybody who listens to the show, whether you get to listen to it before tomorrow or you listen to it later, I just want you to know that National Coming Out Day does not mean you have to go step out and say, this is who I am. It can be the beginning of your journey. You can be in the midst of it, and you can kind of celebrate it in your own way. But I just want whoever's listening to know, any of us that are on the show today, look us up. We'll be posting stuff on Facebook, on Twitter, on the show page. We would all be willing to support you in any way that we could. And so I want to jump right in, Sal, and kind of get some of your background. So here you are, a gay man. At least I think you're a gay man, as far as I know. I mean, let's just be real. This is who you are. But you also were a former religious brother in the Catholic Church. So that's like a big wow moment there.
You know, this is really interesting, and it's kind of surprising when people hear about my journey. I actually came out of the closet when I was 17 years old, to my family, to my friends. And honestly, it was not a traumatic ordeal. I know that that is a very unique thing to hear, and I feel very blessed to have had that experience. Part of it had to do with the fact that I grew up in New York City. Part of it had to do with the fact of just the time that I was coming out. It was the early 1980s, and it was a time of gay liberation. It was before the AIDS crisis, and I feel very fortunate that I was able to be able to date like my brothers were dating girls. I was able to bring guys home for Sunday dinner, and I had a wonderful experience. So I think then when people find out that I joined the Catholic Church after that, seems really strange, but I really felt like I wanted to somehow serve. I wanted to be of service to God, and religion was very important to me. And I thought I could kind of be a bridge between the Catholic Church and the gay community. I thought right. If young guys like me were joining the church, we could kind of push it forward into, you know, the next century. And unfortunately, once I was in the church and I felt very divided, the AIDS crisis had hit in New York City, and the Catholic Church became like the enemy of the gay community in New York. So I really felt so pulled between the gay community and my religious community, and that's really what I talk about in the book 70 Times 7, is trying to reconcile my spirituality and my sexuality. So that's a little bit of my journey.
Well, and I love that you bring this up. I love this because Midge, just before you, she brought up 2 of the things that I really focus on in my coaching. Now, you brought one that is always very much at the forefront of the coaching that I do with someone who's starting to go through the process of coming out, which is navigating through this religious spirituality space that, for most people, is part of the process. You can't really go through coming out without addressing what does this mean from a religious or spiritual perspective. And if anybody gets something from this show today, this would be one of those things, that this doesn't mean the end
of your spirituality. This does not mean the end of how you view your relationship with your maker, whether it's God, whether it's Buddha, whatever it is. It's about strengthening the spirituality from my perspective of who you are and allowing you to honor your maker in a way that says, he didn't make any mistakes. This is me.
That's so beautifully said, Rick. It really is. I'm just back from Kansas City. I was part of a conference. I was one of the presenters. It was called an LGBT Spiritual Experience. Mm-hmm. And we talked about a lot of those same issues that you're talking about. So many gay people, because of the churches we grew up in telling us that we were so far removed from God, we felt that once we came out, we then dropped religion. And in doing so, we also dropped our spiritual selves. And I think our gay gift is that we are and have been spiritual teachers and leaders throughout the centuries. My book, Gay is a Gift, is about the Native American Two-Spirits, who were the gay member of the tribe, who the chief of the tribe would go to with all spiritual matters. I talk about the Dogara tribe in Africa, where the gay person in the tribe is revered and celebrated as the person who's the gatekeeper between the earthly realm and the spiritual realm. And I just talk about gay saints and mystics throughout the centuries, and really try to tell gay people that your being gay is a spiritual gift. People like Eckhart Tolle, people like Carl Jung, they have said that gay people in many ways are closer to spiritual enlightenment than straight people are, because really the spiritual search is about the search for the authentic self. And when we come out of the closet, we are celebrating our authentic self. So it makes a lot of sense. And that's why I love that's what you do in your coaching. And that's beautiful.
Well, and it's so powerful, because a couple of years ago, I was involved in an organization in L.A. called 100 Gay Men, where we bridge the gaps between the gay youth, the gay adult, and the gay elders within our own community. And there was a pastor from one of the Universalist churches in Hollywood there, and beautiful soul. And he got up and he said, I don't know whether any of us truly appreciate that the coming out process is the most spiritual experience anyone can embrace. And it gave me, even as I just said it, I got goosebumps again, because I realized that it is one of the deepest dives. It is one of the deepest dives into self that I think I've ever done. And what I love about this is the bridge that can be created. And part of what I do as a coach is I have my coming out practice, but I have this life coach practice as well. And I bridge the two, simply doing the same exact practice of helping people come out of whatever it is they're mired in, whether it's a bad relationship or stuck in a job they don't want to be in. And I always bring forward this spiritual piece, because it is our spirituality, not religion necessarily, but our spirituality that gives us that manifesto, so to speak, to go forward as human beings. So I would love to ask you, if you were to give someone some advice, and you kind of have, just in what you've already said, Salvatore, what would you say to someone right now who's really struggling with coming out or getting ready to make that big step? What would be a couple of pieces of advice you would give them?
Well, first of all, I think, that's why I liked what you had said earlier, Rick, about how it doesn't mean National Coming Out Day tomorrow that you have to announce yourself fully to every single person in your life. All of us go through it, it's a process. Yeah. So take a baby step. I think that's very, very important for people. At this conference that I was at, people came from all over the country, and everyone was at a different stage. Some people, like myself, came out when they were 17, and some people were not fully out yet. People shared how they lived with their partner for 15 years, and yet they were not out to people that they've worked with. So right. That they've been working in an office for 10 years, and people in their office, although they associate with them every day, don't really know about the person that they live with.
Right.
And so I think that can just be a really small step that maybe it's, you know, I came out and I have a partner and so on, but maybe, you know, the woman that I sit next to in my cubicle, who is my good work friend, maybe it's time for me to share a little bit when she talks about her husband, for me to talk about my partner.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a really good thing for us to keep in mind, is that it doesn't mean that we need to step out completely fully if we're not at that stage, but to do it as a process, because that's really what it is. It is.
And, you know, we've got 2 minutes till we're going to go to break. So I told you, Salvatore, this is going to go really fast, and I'd love to have you come back again and really delve into this. But this baby step concept that you just threw forward is so vital. I think at times we think we have to rush forward, and this isn't just about coming out. In so many things we do in life, we feel like we have to rush forward, get it done, get to it, get to the goal, da-da-da-da-da. And in those moments is when we lose ourselves. So really quickly, we've got like maybe a minute and a half before we go to break. I want to talk about your new book. So you've got a new book out called Michael's Prayer. Give us a little quick guide to what that one's about.
Oh, thanks, Rick. Well, when I was a brother in the Catholic Church, I worked alongside Father Michael Judge. He was the priest who became well known as the first recorded casualty of September 11th. He was killed in the World Trade Center. And I worked alongside of him in the founding of an AIDS ministry in New York. It was the first Catholic AIDS organization in New York City. And so
So this sounds like it's kind of a homage to him, would be what I would guess.
It is, but it also helps the reader kind of incorporate his spirituality into their own lives.
Absolutely. Beautiful. Okay, well, we've got 30 seconds to break, so I don't want you to get off the line without me saying, first of all, thank you. I'm so glad we finally got to connect. And thank you for being yourself and sharing of yourself in this short little 12-minute segment that we had today. Salvatore Sapienza, he's got 3 great books, Gay as a Gift, 70 Times 7, and Michael's Prayer, and also Saint of 911. So I look forward to talking to you again, Sal. Take care. Love you bunches. And we will be back in 10 seconds or maybe about a minute with more. Here we go. Take care.
You've been listening to The Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with coming out coach Rick Clements. We'll be right back after these messages.
I look into the window of my mind.
Congratulations on being the proud owner of an adorable, soft, cuddly, sweet-smelling, smiling, cooing, hungry, tired, gassy, screaming little bundle of joy. So now what? Where's the owner's manual for this thing? Where are my instructions? Right here. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com. Infant care specialist Blythe Lipman has worked with babies for over 20 years and works extensively with new parents, providing workshops, in-home visits, tips, and daily phone calls to ease those frazzled nerves. With Baby and Toddler Instructions, you can get the advice you need on how to survive and enjoy your baby's first year. For more information on Blythe and how she can help you, go to babyinstructions.com. From 32 ways to stop a baby from crying, to 14 ways to get a baby to eat, and so much more, it's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com.
Do you ever feel like you're the invisible woman? Too polite to be political? Too nice to be real? Tame, even though you really want to be unleashed? Like you're living in a fairy tale without the happy ending? Well, Cinderella has left the ball, and it's time to wake up and break up with our own self-imposed glass slippers and ceilings. Welcome to Le Chic Speak, the polite woman's guide to self-expression, with your host, Jen Duchenne. Le Chic Speak is the Woohoo Radio Network's resident radio show dedicated to helping women turn on their power and turn up the volume of their voices so you can be seen, heard, appreciated, and celebrated. Join us on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time for your weekly dose of Le Chic Speak with your host, Jen Duchenne, only here on the Woohoo Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemens.
And we are back. We are doing a big woohoo for tomorrow, which is National Coming Out Day. And for those of you that are just tuning in, we are celebrating a day early, National Coming Out Day, that is celebrated each year on October 11th, that started back in 1987. And one of the things that many people don't realize is each year there is a theme around National Coming Out Day. And this year's theme, surprise, surprise, is Come Out, Vote. So there's a lot of initiatives on the ballots and on the political front that affect gay, lesbian, transgenders, bisexuals, queer, all the little alphabets we have. So we're going to jump right back in. A couple of things I want to give everybody. If you are struggling and you are being challenged by your own journey through the closet doors, I'm going to give you two books that I would highly recommend, and then stay tuned because in the next segment I'll give you two other books. The first book I would highly recommend is The Velvet Rage by Alan Downs, and then Coming Out of the Closet Without Coming Apart at the Seams by Gail Dickert. So those are my two books that I would highly recommend. You can also find those books over on the Coming Out Lounge or the ComingOutCoach.com under my resource section. So here we go. One of the things that most people fear once they come through those closet doors is, I'll never find love. I'll never fall in love. I'll never be able to date. How do I do this dating thing? And to that, I say, welcome my guest, Jay Cameron Gant. He is the CEO of Instigator, the membership-based service that helps people find love. Welcome, Cameron.
Thank you, Rick. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you here. I have been wanting to have a matchmaker, dating person on the show for a while, and we have just been kind of not able to make it happen. So here you are. So give us a real quick introduction to what you do as the Instigator Gay Matchmaker.
Well, Instigator is definitely a company that focuses on providing singles coaching as well as matchmaking services to gay singles within our community. So the biggest thing that I think I contribute to the matchmaking market is there's not very many gay matchmakers out there. I mean, you have companies who deal with gay couples, but you never really have that many guys who are gay themselves providing this type of service to other gay men. So that's definitely kind of the basis behind starting the company, and I've been able to make a few matches, so I'm just excited to keep it moving, and we're approaching our one-year anniversary since we officially launched, so we just have a whole lot of projects on the slate, and I'm just ready to really dive in and see what type of value I can really provide my community.
Well, that's fantastic, and I think one of the projects that's big is you've got your first book coming out this fall as well, correct?
You got it. We are still kind of working out some of the details, adding additional content, but it should definitely be out very soon, taking the self-publishing route. So just want to get that in as many hands as possible. You know,
absolutely.
Definitely spread the love.
And the name of the book is?
The name of the book is The Total Knockout, The Gay Man's Guide to Attracting, Seducing, and Keeping the Man They Want.
That sounds fantastic. And this is one of those things that I think anyone who's coming out of the closet, gay or straight, always has to navigate through, are these beliefs around dating, finding love, all that sort of stuff. So what drew you to doing this work?
The reality of it is, I myself, when I came out, I found that I didn't really fit into the quote unquote gay community. And I think what people don't understand is they see a picture and they see images of what they think the gay community is. But, you know, until you really get into it, you know, you don't realize that there's so many different segments, and not everything's about going to a bar or going to a drag show or going to a club and standing around in a tight t-shirt hoping someone to take notice. You know, you have guys out there who are, you know, coming from the military. You've got guys who've come out later in life and weren't really exposed to the gay community as much as they wanted to be. So, you know, when they get out there, they're trying to navigate the dating scene, and they really need somebody to kind of take their hand and say, hey, listen, don't be afraid. This is what you're able to do. To really find and focus on finding the type of person that's going to complement your life. So
And I love what you brought up, because this is one of those things is that I think so many of us. So my story is I came out late in life, 38 years old, been married, two kids, got divorced. And I remember that first time walking into a bar and kind of standing there shaking in my boots going, I don't really fit in here. My story is so different. And I had a kind of a horrible experience that first night. Somebody actually called me a breeder, and that really kind of like set me back. But then what I realized as I got into the community is there were more and more and more guys just like me who'd been married and come out of the closet. So you mentioned as you were talking that you felt like you didn't fit into the community. Can you give us a little more insight of what that really was for you? Why didn't you feel like you fit?
Most definitely. In my family, I grew up in a military family, so we kind of bounced around. I want to say we never stayed in one place longer than 4 years, and went to military school very young age, athletic. You know, it was just one of those things to where I just really did. I couldn't find my connection where I was going and the places I was frequenting. You know, I wasn't connected to it. I've never been kind of the type of person to consistently stay out to 4 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Friday, and then go all weekend without any type of sleep.
Right.
So, and those were the types of places I was going. So that was number one. Number two, you know, I'm a huge horror movie fan, you know, just a lot of different kind of what some people would call weird interests, I guess you would say. And, you know, I just had a real hard time connecting. You know, I had a hard time finding people that I could connect on a level with outside of a bar, you know. Sure. So,
and I think this is so common. I mean, it tends to be whether you're gay or straight, young or old, for some reason, society in a general sense, and I don't want to put the umbrella over everybody, but it seems that the bar scene is always where people tend to gravitate to. And then suddenly, and a lot of my clients that I've coached, this is what happens. They're like, I'm not really into the bar scene. I'd rather go like play cards, or I'd rather go, you know, do some hikes and stuff. And the beauty is this, and again, this is another thing that I talk about in my little ebook on the comingoutcoach.com site, 20 most common thoughts about coming out, is there's a wide open plethora of people with similar interests out there just waiting to meet you too. But you have to realize and open up that they're out there. And I think this is a piece that as we come out of the closet, there's so much stuff that's just going through our heads. We get it all jumbled together and we don't realize there's a lot of opportunity out there. Do we have to go look for it? And do we have to potentially go work for it? Sure. But it is out there. So what would be one of your best or two pieces of advice that you would give someone who is newly out or getting ready to come out around the whole dating and finding love?
Well, definitely the first thing, and this seems to be pretty consistent with professionals within our field, you know, we all pretty much advocate, you know, do it when you're ready. Right. You'll know when it's time for you to do it. Don't feel like you're pressured into it. Don't feel like you have to do it to keep someone, you know, do it when it's right for you. You'll know when the time is right for you to do it. And secondly, you know, fear, there's just so much fear surrounding the whole decision to coming out. And, you know, especially in my case, I completely spazzed out and there was really no reason to, because my family, fortunately, was very supporting and loving. And to my surprise, they had already discussed the possibility. So they were totally prepared for it. So, you know, I would say expect support where you would, even if you feel like you shouldn't expect it, you should expect support from where you would least think you would get it. You know, don't fear the unknown. I'm pretty sure, especially in this day and age, there's going to be a lot more people supporting you than they are against you. And if, you know, the reality is not everyone is going to be as accepting, but at the end of the day, if they can't love you for who you are and love you enough to respect the fact that you want to share this information with them about your life, chances are they're not anyone you want to keep around anyway. So
absolutely. And I love that what you just said, because it, again, and I know I keep kind of jumping back to this little ebook of mine, the 20 most common thoughts about coming out, but one of the things I talk about in there is be prepared for those that you think will be least accepting to accept you, and those that you think will accept you, they may not. And actually, right now, I've got a video series that I've launched on YouTube called 30 Days to Coming Out Without Coming Unglued, and that's one of the little, and they're like two-minute segments about, you know, what to expect and things like that. And I think when you dial in and you truly accept that some people are going to accept you and others aren't, and that's okay.
Right.
That is truly okay. And that's part of the process. It would be kind of like saying, well, okay, you and I have something in common. We both have seen pictures of each other. We both sport our baldness, and I have a feeling we both sport it really well. So in the last 2 minutes, we're going to kind of talk about, you know, taking what you got and working with it, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's about, you know? And I think too often when we come through those closet doors, we get really, really lost in the expectations. So we've got just a little under 2 minutes till we go to break. And I know this has once again flown by, but I love it. So let's talk real quickly how people could get in touch with you. Let's go ahead and do your website. It's Instigator, GAYTOR.com. Is that correct?
You got it.
Great. And you provide coaching for dating as well as matchmaking services, correct?
You got it, correct.
You are based where, Cameron?
I'm based out of Chicago, Illinois. My two primary markets are Chicago as well as New York City. So I do have kind of that, I guess if you want to call it, bi-coastal reach. I'm working on LA. I'm not quite there yet, but coming soon, so.
And I just want to make sure that anybody who is listening, now you predominantly work with gay men, correct?
Primarily gay men. I've just started working with lesbian clientele as well. It's still something that I'm trying to build up. At the end of the day, I want to make sure that I'm providing the best service possible to my lesbian sisters as well. So
absolutely. And as long as we're talking about this, and we're going to go in just a minute here. So first of all, Cameron, thank you so much for being here. I love what you do. I love seeing the stuff you're putting out on your website. I love your new website. It's all great. But anyone who's listening who is struggling right now and thinking they can't find love, the bottom line is this: you can. You have to be open to it. You have to be ready. You have to allow yourself to love yourself first. And if I was to give you any message in the last 30 seconds before we go to break, it would be love yourself so that you can be yourself. And we are going to be back in just a few moments with our next guest that will really kind of surprise you how she moved through things and what she did to be she is.
You've been listening to The Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with coming out coach Rick Clements. We'll be right back after these messages.
I look into the window of my mind.
Mobile is the future, and the future is now. Listen in each week, Tuesdays 4 to 5 Central, to Brilliant Mobile Marketing with your host, Mobile Mary, as we simplify the hottest marketing channel, mobile marketing, and share secrets on how you can use mobile to be more brilliant, be more profitable, and have more fun in your industry. Join us each week to learn from brilliant business leaders on how to simply and easily capture a list of raving fans and turn them into loyal customers. This show will help business owners, authors, and speakers realize their own brilliance by tapping into the insights of fellow brilliant business leaders. We will also showcase brilliant tools, both traditional and digital, that will make you more brilliant in everything you do. Don't miss your date with Brilliant Mobile Marketing and your host, Mobile Mary, America's mobile marketing expert, as she shares her success strategies every Tuesday from 4 to 5 Central on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Get ready to laugh along with This Little Parent Stayed Home with Ali Lopreet. Friday evenings at 6, 5 Central on TogiNet.com. This is a truly realistic, no-nonsense, tell-it-like-it-is method that will have you laughing and crying, surviving while struggling, and hammering away at the hardships as you travel through the greatest journey of your life. Get empowered by joining thousands of other parents who have also decided to take a leap of faith into a double career with longer hours and half the pay simply because of the love they have for their children. Together, we are rebuilding a new economy that will support us rather than enslave us. Never again will we have to choose between raising our children and earning to provide for them. It won't be easy, but it will be worth it. For more on Allie and her success, check out her website, OurMilkMoney.com. So come get empowered with This Little Parent Stayed Home with Ali Lopreet, Friday afternoons at 6, 5 Central on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemens.
And we are back. We are sliding into the final segment as we celebrate National Coming Out Day, which is tomorrow, October the 11th. And I've had a great group of guests from Midge to Salvatore to Cameron. And before I introduce my next guest, I promised you in the last break that I would give you a couple of more books that I highly recommend, that if you're coming out of the closet and you're struggling, the first two books I gave you was The Velvet Rage with Alan Downs. The second one was Coming Out of the Closet Without Coming Apart at the Seams by my good friend Gail Dickert. The other two I would recommend are The Other Side of the Closet by Amity Pierce Buxton. That one kind of really saved my pants when I was going through the closet doors. And then another one is There's Something I've Been Meaning to Tell You by Laura Lee McPike. The final one I want to share with you by my friend Dan Savage and Terry Miller is It Gets Better. So as we kick off, I do want to say it does get better. And no matter where you are, whether tomorrow you could say, okay, I'm at least going to admit to myself that I'm gay or that I'm lesbian, just know that from the moment you say the words to yourself, it will begin to get better. And my good friend Karen Sullivan is going to join us now. She is a law enforcement professional. She's retired. She was a chief of police, correct, Karen?
Yes, Rick, I was.
Yeah, in Monmouth County, New Jersey. And Karen and I met a little over a year ago. We are both IPEC coaches. We both went through the IPEC coaches training, and we met at the final training weekend, and we just connected. And ironically, I don't think either one of us really ever said, oh, I'm gay or I'm lesbian. Well, I did, because I kind of let it all known in the front of the huge auditorium. But there was definitely a connection, and I feel so blessed to have you in my life. And we've had some great conversations and kept in touch. And so welcome to my show. I'm so happy to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Rick. And I am thrilled to be here. And you're absolutely right. We do have this amazing connection, and I am blessed for it.
Yeah. So obviously, it's one of the things that crosses many people's minds, and this kind of came up when Midge was on earlier in the show, but I want to go back to it because this is one of the biggies when we do take that big, bold step to say, this is who I am, this is who I am in my sexuality. One of the things that many people cross is that doorway into what is this going to do to my career? And I'm quite sure holding the positions you did, that thought had to have crossed your mind numerous times.
Over and over again, Rick. And I got to tell you, for me in my police life, it was really about, it was almost like the military, don't ask, don't tell, way back when.
Yeah.
And it's something that I got to tell you that I'm really not proud of, but I really wasn't out when I was in law enforcement. It took me, it was a mask that I had on at work, and it was I was okay with that. And looking back, right then, I wasn't really ready to be me. I wasn't ready to be me there. And after I retired, all the have-tos, the shoulds, the ideals that I was trying to live up to, they didn't work for me anymore. And I started to really hear a small voice breaking through in my head. And I learned to pay attention to that voice and make the commitment to seeking and really, really seeking who I am and who I could be. So like you said, now as a coach, I'm committed to making these offerings that provide the same opportunities to other people to help them get comfortable with their who. And again, this was the pressure I put on myself and, you know, nobody else. I don't think if I go back to my old job now and say, hey, I'm gay, nobody's going to be surprised, because
right.
It was kind of just, it was almost understood.
Right. And I think this is a big piece. And I love that you brought up the who, because each of us has a who we are. But the who oftentimes gets overshadowed by the who that everybody else thinks that we are. And I want to make sure that what Karen just shared is at that moment that she knew she wasn't actually aligned with who she really was in that old life of hers. I want to make sure nobody gets scared by that, because
that is perfectly acceptable. That is perfectly okay, because that is who and where you are in that moment. We have to go through these pieces of our journey until we do arrive at a place that we say, this no longer works for me. And I love that that's what you said, Karen, because that is what happens. I think for most of us, when we finally take that big, bold step out of the closet, it is that line in the sand where we say, this is no longer working for me. I have to be myself.
Exactly. And I think that the thing is, too, I remember what it felt like in my last job, the meetings, the politics, the BS, quite frankly, the phone ringing at 3 a.m. And you know what? I did it on automatic pilot. And the emotions were turned off and the blue suit went on, which made me really effective as a boss and a chief. But again, it wasn't who I was. So in a real moment of silence, I realized how numb I felt. In order to deal with the worries and frustrations and exhaustion that was really tied to my work, my brain kind of trimmed down the edges of my emotions to let me survive. The thing was, my brain helped me from breaking down, but in the process, I really lost my ability to really feel who I really was. And I got to tell you, I'm a freaking sap now. When these emotions are back and it's like who I really am, I am so happy that I stepped into who I was and not the person that I pretended to be all those years with the blue suit on.
Right. Well, and I love the use of the word numb. And when you said that, it took me back to my own numbness that I lived for many years in a marriage, in hiding who I really was. And I'm blessed because I would not trade that experience, nor would I trade my children for anything at this point. But I lived in a state of numbness. And I've shared this on the radio before, and I even shared it a little bit last night when I was on Finding Cupid in LA, that even in the moments that I was sexually exploring outside of the bounds of my marriage, I was numb. I could have sex with men, and I could go do that, and I could step away from the experience as soon as it was over with. And it was as if I had had a completely out-of-body experience and that I wasn't really involved in it. And then I would go back, put my mask back on of Rick the straight, heterosexual father, husband, and, you know, road warrior, highly successful. But I was completely numb to the experience. And I think this is a common place that many of us get at either this is where we are before we come out, or just prior to coming out, we start to realize the numbness no longer serves us at all.
And that's exactly it. Because, you know, Rick, I did the same thing with the, you know, I was married. I was married and I had the storybook wedding on the beach, you know, at the Jersey Shore. And no, the Jersey Shore is not like it is on TV. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful with, you know, and I had the photos. I married this awesome guy who was a fabulous guy. But for me, something was missing. You know, it was a storybook fairy tale, but you know what? It wasn't mine. It wasn't mine. I mean, I did it because I thought it was the thing to do, but it wasn't my truth. And I think that, you know, I mean, I know that you talk about this, that we come out over and over again in our lives, but we do it as we increase our awareness as to that who we really are.
Yeah, and it's so much a part of the journey, and I talk a lot about flexing different muscles in my coaching. And I think once we flex that muscle of authentically being who we are, it is part of the prescription for starting to do it more and more and more on a regular basis. So if you were to give anyone who is, and I'm going to go specifically kind of stuck in that space of, if I come out, my career could be over because I know that was a huge part of who you are. What would be some advice you would give someone who is struggling with that right now?
I think that the big thing, Rick, is really what you do isn't who you are, and that you're not alone and that you have the support, and recognizing that amazingness that you have inside you. Because I really believe that we all have the potential to be that amazing person when you align who you are with what you do and be authentic, like the word you used before. And, you know, some people might feel now that they don't believe that they're amazing and they don't believe that they can be great by stepping into this new skin, quite frankly, but they are. Because they're, you know, it is, they're meant to live in a powerful, extraordinarily remarkable way. What happens is it's just been hidden inside. And what they do is they hide the truth, and between those layers of doubt and misperceptions and all those limiting beliefs that we talk about as coaches, we thought the world around us wanted for us. But you know what? It's time to remember who you truly are and to figure that out. Because, you know, Rick, your dreams are on the other side of your fears.
Yeah.
And I love these two acronyms, right? You could, it's a choice. You could take fear for forget everything and run, or you can take fear with face everything and rise. And the thing is, it's the way you look at it, and the choice is yours.
Absolutely. So with that, I'm going to say, Karen, I love you. I'm so glad you came on the show today. We've only got just a couple of minutes till we're going to go to break, but you are one of my heart-centered friends. We will always be connected, and I love that you came on and shared that piece of who you are as a law enforcement professional and just being here with me today. It was one of the greatest pleasures I've had hosting this show. So thank you so much. Is there anything you've got coming up yourself as a coach that you'd like to share? I know you do mostly corporate and leadership coaching.
Yeah, I'm doing, I got to tell you, Rick, it's so much, this was so much fun. And again, I'm grateful for you asking me to be on this call. I got to tell you, I got a lot of good stuff in the fire coming up, a lot of law enforcement things with coaching. But I got to tell you, it's a little bit of my soft side that's coming in, and I'm starting to do some life purpose coaching and to really help people figure out who they are. So it's exciting. It really is. And I love it.
Wow. Is really helping people figure out who they are. So I so appreciate you being on the show. And in the last minute before we start to tune out, I just want to say, you know, it isn't ever easy, but it doesn't have to be hard. And we as humans get to stand at choice each and every day. And as you stand at that doorway, whether it's tomorrow on National Coming Out Day, or if it's 6 months from now, and you look through that doorway on the other side of the closet door, it is you who gets to determine how you react to your own ability to accept yourself. And so for anyone today who is struggling, I just want you to know, for the next 11 days, anyone who wants to pick up the phone and have a chat with me for an hour, the lines are open. Just call me at 949-637-1838. That's my gift to giving back on National Coming Out Day. For the next 11 days, my phone is wide open. Spend an hour with me. There's no charge, no nothing. And so as we get ready to depart for this week, I want to celebrate National Coming Out Day and say step out, step up, and step into always living your powerful truth. I'm Coming Out Coach Rick. Thanks for being with us today on the Coming Out Lounge, and have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today with the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clements. Make sure you tune in with us next week, same time, same place, for the Coming Out Lounge.